Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We've all had wardrobe malfunctions, moments when our clothes badly let us down. I'm Susanna Constantine and I've had, don't even get me started. I spent most of my life on the verge of a clothing calamity, and some of it caught bang in the epicentre of a major sartorial disaster, which is why it felt natural to return to the subject I love, and sometimes loathe, in the My Wardrobe Malfunction podcast. Each episode, I'll be talking to a very special guest about their relationship with clothes, the ups, the downs, and so much else. We'll discuss everything from their comfort blanket to their burial suit, and of course, hear about their ultimate wardrobe malfunction. But that's not all. I'd love to hear about your experiences with clothes. The wild, weird, the wonderful. I've already had some fantastic responses, stories, photos, even poems about your own clothing mishaps. Please keep them coming. In our pajama party section, I'll call the person with the most entertaining tale to reveal all. Email help@mywardmal.com or contact us at mywardmal to tell us more. But before that, let's get on to today's guest, the terrific Tan France. Tan is one-fifth of the Fab Five guys on Queer Eye, the world's biggest makeover series. He's the fashion expert on this monster Netflix show and the only Brit. He was born in Doncaster, South Yorkshire, and raised in a strict Muslim Pakistani household. Before Queer Eye, he was a fashion designer in his own right. He's also the host of Dressing Funny, where he makes over comedians, and co-host of Netflix's new show, Next in Fashion, which drops this week. So here's a man who truly knows his fashion. He can't have fallen victim to the wardrobe gremlins. Or can he? Well, let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. So, Tan, I can't quite believe I'm sitting here with you, not because I'm in awe, because a Queer Eye is not as big here as it is in America, yes. But it's going to become so. And I've watched it and I thought, you know what, I'm going to hate that fucking guy.
Yeah.
He's just not going to be the guy. And then having seen you, and I watched your thing on YouTube, which is the big show you're doing for Netflix, yes. Dressing Funny.
Yes.
And having read your book, I mean, you are so well qualified to do what you do. It's
Thanks
like you
so
haven't
much.
Been dovetailed into something.
Yes, yeah.
You know yourself far more Thanks. Than Trini and I ever did.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if that's true
no,
at all.
Seriously, it is,
well,
trust
thanks
me.
So much. Well, considering I never tried for this, all I ever did was fashion. It's all I ever knew.
Yeah.
This has been a happy coincidence, and the work that I get to do is just awesome. I know that Queer Eye isn't as big as in the UK, but it took America by storm.
Oh, it's
shockingly.
It's the biggest show in America.
Yeah, and that's a very strange feeling to go from never being on TV to then having a show like Queer Eye. Yeah.
So, Angel, tell me about what you're wearing now. It's very slick.
Thank you. I am wearing a boot that I promised I would never wear, which is a cowboy boot. And in my book, when I was writing it a year and a half, I was like, I'm not going to ever wear a cowboy boot because cultural appropriation is a real thing in America that they talk about a lot. And this is the ultimate white boy shoe.
Yeah.
But I wore it. And I love it so much. I love a heel.
Yeah.
A slick black jean, a simple classic tee, and a vintage jacket.
Yeah, that jacket is very, very nice.
It.
Where did you find that?
At a vintage store in New York, and apparently it's from 1972.
It is so cool. Who's it? Has it got a label
Thanks.
In it?
It still? Has a label you would never know. Like,
but
gosh knows who it is.
Like it's been tailored for you,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and the leather is like butter. It's just gorgeous.
It's delicious.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
Really good colour on you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much.
So,
describe what you're wearing.
Oh, fucking hell. Do I have to?
Yeah, okay, I can't not interview. I can't help but lead.
Okay,
go.
I'm wearing... Okay, shall I tell you? I've got two bras on because my tits are so fucking enormous.
Wow.
So I got two bras on.
Do you always have to do that?
Only when I travel, because when I'm on the train, they bounce up and down. So I've got two bras. I've got a swimsuit because it's quite low, the dress, and it's going. And then I've got two safety pins inside the bra, so it doesn't gape open.
Yes, good trick
for you.
Yeah.
And this is a Dodo Bar or dress. I can't remember where they're from, and assortment of jewellery.
Do you feel pressure to dress a certain way because you're... No?
No.
I do.
Yeah, well, you do because you're very much in the public eye.
Yeah,
I'm not so much...
You're still Susanna.
No, but you know what? I am fastidious now about looking messy.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I've sort of become the person that Trini and I used to make over.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not the case. I'm looking at you and that's not the case, but maybe you made it a real...
No, I did. Yeah. This is the first time I've actually thought... I need to focus on what I wear. And I haven't focused as much as I would have done, but, you know, I'm sitting with you and it's the first time I'm sitting with someone who I feel is as good, if not better, than what Trini and I did. So I did have to make a conscious effort.
Thanks so much. As I say, I don't agree. You guys, I know you have a lot of questions, but I'm just going to say this. You guys, I was enamored by as a kid. You were probably on the TV, and I'm so sorry to do this because I know that this is not
okay,
a nice
I'm
way
57
to do it.
Years old. Okay. I'm an old bag. That's fine.
Yeah,
menopausal.
There's a bit of an age gap. There's a bit of an age gap. And so I watched you when I was an early teen, and I was fascinated by what you did. And I always loved the show, and I didn't think I'd ever, ever be in a position where I'd be doing something of that sort and then we'd be sat here chatting about it.
I mean, that is amazing. Did you watch it? Was it a show that you watched with your mum?
No, my mum didn't watch white TV.
Okay.
They thought that, and you guys, I think you used to get them down to the bras. Like, remember their bras a lot. That would have been forbidden. Okay. Like, I come from a very strict Pakistani family. So I used to watch it in secret.
You also, and then it wasn't like, because for some young men, they'd watch it with their mums and they think, oh, nice, they're in their bra. But you knew your sexuality, didn't you?
From a very early age. I mean, my mum wouldn't have thought, oh, he's getting off on this, because she could tell that something was definitely different about me. But still, I would have been seeing a woman in something that I was not meant to be seeing.
Yeah.
But I remember you guys always hoisting up their boobs.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by it. Yeah.
How do you overcome boobs in your show, in Queer Eye?
It's weird. Almost every woman I've met has a problem with their boobs. They have not been measured in a really long time. They're always wearing the wrong size bra.
Yeah, always.
And so I asked them if I can lift them.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can
do it. Do you ever touch them?
Always.
Good for you. Always. Could you do it as a straight man in America?
No way.
Yeah.
No way on God's earth. And I explained to them beforehand. I mean, they know the show now.
Yeah.
And so, but I go in and say, I'm clearly a gay man. Do you mind if I hold your boobs?
That's such a gentlemanly way of putting it.
Thanks.
Hold your boobs.
I just want to make sure. If I don't know what they're like, I don't know how to dress
them. Can you hold a woman's boob and know what size they are?
No, okay. I can't. But I do know by lifting the boobs if their bra is supporting them enough.
Yeah.
And if that's not right, there's nothing I can do to their outfit that's going to make them look
right. You've got to get the upholstery right.
Yes.
But the way that we used to do it is, I mean, I can see a woman's tits and I know exactly what bra size
they
are.
That's impressive.
But it's like women, and as you, I'm sure, know, it's like it's always too small in the cup size.
Always.
And too big around the back.
Yes. And now too loose on the straps. If I can shove my whole hand in that strap, you're not getting this. And so many people I've met.
I'm putting my hand in my strap.
So
nice
many
and
people.
Tight.
Good. So many women, they will wear the bra on the setting that it's set at from when they purchased it.
Yeah.
Every woman I've helped on the show has a standard setting, which is nuts to me.
Yeah.
And they find it bizarre that a gay man is telling them what to do with their boobs.
Yeah. You know, my tits used to be, sorry to bang on about those, but they used to be a C cup and they're now a G cup.
Ooh.
And you can't, I find it so hard to look on trend or to be fashionable when you've got big tits, because you either look like a dowager duchess or you look like a slut.
Yes.
You know, an aging slut.
Yeah, it is different. I feel for the women that I help on the show who have very large bosoms because I just think no matter what I do, it's not going to make you look the cool young chick.
Well, they're aging.
Yeah.
They're really aging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So what would you suggest?
I do a lot of layers to try and minimise the look. And I will actually often put them in a minimiser bra, which is horrible to do.
I'm wearing a minimiser bra.
You kind of have to. If you want to look a certain way, you kind of have to accept that a minimising bra is going to help. But I put them in layers so that from the side you can't really notice.
Yeah.
So you're doing all you can to disguise them, which is... actually the complete opposite of what I do preach on the show. Yeah. I preach that you should accept your body the way it is. Yeah. If you want to wear a pencil skirt and you've got curves, wear that pencil skirt.
Yeah, well, they
and
look shop great.
It. Amazing.
On curves, pencil skirts.
Back in the day, Susanna, you may remember, there were times when people would say, well, if you've got curves, be sure to wear an A-line skirt. No, go fuck yourself. Like, why don't hide those away. Like, let her embrace her body. There's no shame in it.
I mean, when did you start gaining interest in clothing? How old were you?
Really
do you
young.
Remember?
At least seven. I would go to my granddad's denim factory and I would watch them produce clothing. Mm. And I was fascinated by it. Mm. And I do think I had just this luxury of knowing how garments were created. Not only did I think they were pretty, I could make a full denim jacket by the age of 10, 11, 12. I knew how to make, and you know,
but
denim
what?
Jackets are very complicated.
Sort of like pattern cutting or...
Fully. I knew how to cut the pattern. I knew how to then take it and sew every section of that jacket. I could do it so meticulously. You would never know a 10-year-old had made that jacket. And it wasn't slave labor. I just did it because I wanted to go. My siblings didn't work at the factory. I was just so desperate to learn. I loved clothes as a kid. And you know how for Christmas you may have asked for, I don't know, some toy, whatever toy. At 6 or 7, I had the same request every year because they never got it me. I wanted custom-made clothes. I knew exactly what I wanted it to be made out of. I knew the fit. And that's bizarre for a six-year-old.
That is, yeah, it's very sort of sartorially precocious.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You have it in you. There are some designers who just fall into it and they boggle my mind. I don't know how you just fall into that and become something incredible. But for me, it was a passion from a very, very early age.
Do you think you'll go back to that? Do you think you'll focus? Do you still have your label? What was
no,
it?
I don't. Kingdom I had three and I don't have any of them anymore. And I pray I will never start another label.
Okay.
Just because it was so hell. Much hard work. Yeah. Oh my God, it was hell. Managing production. If I were a designer who was making my own clothes, for example, if I got to drape every day and then I just passed it off to somebody else who, those little elves did everything for me, wonderful. But that's not, I wasn't doing design for couture, I was doing design for mass market. Mass market. And so you design something and then you give it to somebody, but you have to manage every step of the way. And then you've got to make sure it sells because the burden's on you. So no, I have no desire.
Yeah,
I miss the actual design, but I have no desire.
You're quite controlling. Do you have
I
to
am
get...
the most controlling person you'll meet.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
Yeah. Yeah, it drives my husband insane.
Yeah.
I will ask him to cook something and I will watch over him the entire time.
Oh, you're my not God, I'd want to kill you.
You're not slicing that right. I know, it's infuriating.
I'd want to fucking kill you.
I know,
you.
I learned it from my mom.
How are you still together, you and Rob?
Oh, it's just bliss. He accepts me for exactly who I am.
Brilliant.
And he knows that he can't do a lot. Mm. And so I'm going to take over. So he gets the luxury of not having to do much. I just cook for him. I clean. Like, I complain that nothing's been done right. So I do it all. I'd love to be in his position. He's the luckiest man in the world.
Yeah.
We don't fight a lot, thank God. The times we fight, it's usually because he waits about a week after I've worn something and then he will purchase that outfit, something very similar online, and then we'll be out at an event and he won't show me what he's wearing, what he's about to wear. And the driver turns up and he'll come out of the bedroom and it's too late for me to change and he's wearing something that I wore a week prior.
Oh my God.
I find it insufferable.
Yeah.
Insufferable. So it encourages me. I don't like having a white twin in my husband.
Yeah.
And so he knows that that will force
me to evolve. So you have
to
keep
it
sealed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's that hard line of keeping quiet what you're wearing.
Yes.
Surprise him and then worrying that he's going to turn up in the same thing.
I did make the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you, this will show you what a martyr I am with my husband. He, on our wedding day, I didn't know what he was wearing. He was going to surprise me. I was going to surprise him. And so I came out of the bedroom and I was wearing what I was wearing. And he showed me what he was wearing. And he was really unhappy because his suit wasn't fitting right. And we're a similar size. And so I looked at his suit thinking, oh gosh, it's really not a good one. I don't want you to go down like this. Like, this is, the suit's doing you real dirty.
What did you say?
And so I gave him my suit to wear and he looked incredible in it. And I wore his suit, which was not good.
That is such a sacrifice.
Yeah, and I look back now thinking, you dickhead, why the fuck did you think to do that? But I wanted him to have his special day.
I mean, what's the time that you find most difficult to dress? Because are you someone, so then being controlling, you're not the kind of person who wakes up in the morning and just grabs something out
of
the wardrobe.
I am that person.
Are you?
So a lot of people lay their clothes out the night before.
Yeah.
I'm not that person.
No,
I base my sartorial choices on my mood that day. Always. I can lay out four different outfits at night, and when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, shit, 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 feel like crap in that, I'm not going to wear it, even though 8 hours prior, I was all about it.
Yeah.
And so I wake up in the morning, look at what I've got as my options, and then I make my choices.
Yeah.
When it comes to clothes, I always have a plan. But when it comes to the most difficult times to dress are red carpets.
Yeah.
Because people expect you. You must have felt this back in the day. People expect you to look a certain way if you are saying that you know better than most.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure. And it's an intimidating process because especially in America where those red carpets are so grand and they're screaming at you to look their way, you don't know where to look, and it's an intimidating situation.
But in your position, so the whole red carpet thing, it's like, you know, for most men, well, heterosexual men, they don't really have the freedom to express.
Yes.
You know, it's tuxedo.
Yeah.
It's tuxedo, and it might be in like a jazzy fabric or something.
Yes.
But do you kind of like take it to an extreme?
Oh, yeah. I am so extra on the red carpet.
Brilliant.
And that wasn't me before the show. But now I've found this confidence where I just think I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear. I mean, I wore this ridiculous, stunning couture jacket recently at the GLAAD Awards, and it was not the kind of thing you would ever see on a red carpet, but I loved it. I wanted
what was it like?
It's hard to explain, but it was like a Maharaja's jacket. It was this beautiful hand-stitched white piece of just glamour that you would
with
see
with a Nehru collar and single breasted.
Not Nehru, it had actual silver woven into it, and so it was just a very good, I'd never seen anything like it. I wouldn't even know how to describe it, but it was just beautifully done. It was very ethnic, and I wanted to show a piece of my culture, and I had henna on my hands also, and it was just it was extra. That's the best way to describe it. It was just very, it was a lot of luck, but it was perfectly appropriate for where I was going. I was going to GLAAD Awards. And so, that was my most bold look recently.
Yeah. I read that you always wanted to have paler skin growing up. Why was that?
So you know this, you've been to Pakistan.
Yeah.
And you've probably spent time with other people of colour.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because I was in a very white community in South Yorkshire. So when you grow up in within a minority community within a very, very white community, you see all the benefits of being white, and that's obviously appealing. But I actually felt the pressure because of my own community. It's very much encouraged when you have children, you want to make sure they're as white as possible. The fairer they are, they're going to get a better partner. They'll probably get a better job. They're going to be wealthier. You're going to be successful if you are the palest version of brown. And so as a kid, I knew from a very early age, 2 or 3, I was too dark. I was too dark. I was too dark. I'm not going to find a good marriage. I'm too dark. So by the age of 10, I found my cousin's bleaching cream because she felt the same pressure as me. And I started bleaching my skin. I did it for a few days. It hurt so badly that I stopped.
Was that kind of hair bleach? Like IMAT? No, not IMAT. What's the hair? Not, it was actual skin bleach.
Actual skin bleach. Yeah, actual skin bleach. It's called Fair and Lovely.
Okay.
Bath, and it's still around, and they sell it throughout African countries, Asian countries, Far East Asian countries. You see it everywhere. Fair and Lovely, Fair and Lovely, which in itself is suggesting that if you are fair, you are lovely.
Yeah.
If you are dark, you are ugly.
Mm.
And so I started using that horrible feeling, really painful. And then after a few days, I just thought, I'm just going to stick
with
being
baby
dark.
Baby skin.
I know.
How old were you?
I started using when I was about 9, 10, so very, very, very young. But even before then, I desperately wanted to buy it. I just didn't have the money to be able to buy it. And so, I did it at a very scary age. And when I think of any of my nieces or nephews who are 10 thinking about those kind of things, it's really sad, actually.
Is it still the case?
Yes, 100%.
Really?
One of my relatives had a baby literally just a few weeks ago. And I was on Skype with some family members. We have a Skype group, a conference group. And one of them, the first question, always the first question, is she pale?
Really?
Always. Is she pale? Is he pale?
But that's so kind of racist within your own community.
Of course it is. And I wrote it in my book, and I've had so many people of colour read the book at this point. And it's the one thing that everyone of colour connects with. They say, yeah, we have the same in our family. No matter where in the world they're from, they say, we understand.
Yeah.
That's the first question they ask in our culture too.
That's where the title of your book, Naturally Tan, is so clever, because there's so many different connotations.
Yes.
And it's your name. And
yes. It was really important for me to call it something that was funny, but also makes it very clear, this is who I am, accept me as I am.
Yeah. because we, you know, for me growing up, it was the baby oil and the tin foil and, you know, ruining
that's,
my skin.
That's the funny
and
thing.
And still, I'm obsessed with getting tan because I used to have an allergy to the sun and I'd get really bad heat rash and I'd have cortisone injections and... Just horrendous.
I used to watch the Caucasian kids in my school, so jealous, thinking you get to go on vacation just so you can look more like me. But you're the same kids who were calling me names for my skin color. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so insane. Horrible feeling. Yeah. But now, so people make fun that every now and then I'll, like once or twice a month, I'll post a picture. And the caption is usually brown and beautiful because I want to encourage people who follow me to accept and love their skin color. Yeah. I love my skin color now. Actually, it's my favorite skin color. Like, I look at everybody else, I'm like, I'm so happy that I'm this color. No, I don't want to be my husband's color.
Yeah, you are so lucky because you are like the perfect.
Thanks.
You are the perfect tan.
Thanks. Yeah, I look at my husband, I think, oh, you're beautiful, but I don't want your skin color. Like, you have to stay out of the sun. I can stay in the sun for hours and not burn. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm so grateful for my skin.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Color now.
And do you ever use clothes as sort of armor? Do you? Because I often I'll wake up. It's like if I'm feeling depressed in the morning, not depressed, but insecure, which is actually quite often now, I will... Even though I don't go to an office and I'm sitting at my desk and writing, but I will dress like I'm going to a meeting. So I'll dress to bolster my confidence.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. If I don't feel like the best version of me, the most powerful version of me, I won't wear it. I need to put something on my body every day that's going to make me seem a lot more confident than I actually am.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite a shy person. Yeah. I really am. And that's why... Up until this show, I was never the kind of person that had a public profile on Instagram. Like, I was a very private person because I didn't want somebody to judge me for my appearance. And so now every day that I get dressed, I'm like, I need to make sure that I look like the most powerful version of myself so they can't come for me.
Yeah.
But I definitely use clothes as armor. Yeah.
When you travel... Packing your suitcase, so you have your outfit for every day.
I have it down.
Okay.
I don't plan my outfits, as you know, but I don't like to take a checked bag. I usually am on a flight 3 or 4 days a week, minimum. And when we fly in America, it's as... I know. When we fly in America, it's like flying to another European country. It's not close. And so I've learned to pack... A capsule wardrobe, but a more elevated capsule wardrobe because I'm usually at an event. And so I'll take a suit. I'll take a couple of shirt options, like a couple of t-shirt options. I'll take a couple of more vibrant things. So I've only got like 10 pieces max in my carry-on. And with that, I build outfits. I break it off and I make a different outfit every day.
And in that, do you have your comfort blanket? What is your comfort blanket?
My comfort blanket? Okay, there's a couple of things. My comfort blanket is my favorite pair of jeans. I've worn the same pair of jeans and I've purchased them in as many washes as they have and in two sizes just because my weight fluctuates. They're the jeans that have been my go-to for like 4 or 5 years now. It's actually a Zara pair of jeans. People assume that when you're in this industry and especially when you're on a show like this, you must...
Designer.
And I really do champion the high street.
Yeah.
I wore Primark on a red carpet recently and the press took the piss. And I was like, take the piss all you want. Like, I love the suit. It was an actual suit. I love the colour and I couldn't find that colour anywhere else. And it was £35. I'm like, I don't care. I'll get it altered. And it will beautifully fit to my body. It will look a lot more expensive. And then when they found out, they ripped the piss out of me. like hard times of town, yeah. France. No, I just like that look. I have this pair of jeans that I've been wearing for years. And on the show recently, one of the executive producers were like, you've worn that pair of jeans a lot. Maybe we need to switch it up a little bit more. You're the fashion guy. I'm like, no, I want people to know they should be able to reuse and reuse and reuse. If they feel good in something, wear them. So my jeans, they always come with me.
Yeah, and that jeans, what you feel most comfortable in. So if you were like slouching around at home.
No, okay, I would be lying if I say I'm always in pyjamas. I don't care what time of day it is.
Okay.
But if I'm anywhere else, it's always this pair of jeans. On a flight, anywhere that somebody might actually see.
So at home, if you're at home for a day, which I'm sure is rare, you would once spend the whole
months. Yeah, once every 2 months I'm home. I usually get about 18 to 24 hours. Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous. I'm going to sound like a bougie bitch, but it's just the case. There's this beautiful set of silk pajamas. It's from one brand in particular, and they send me them regularly, and they're just the most comfortable pajamas. It's called Sleepy Jones.
I love Sleepy Jones. I like the cotton ones.
Mm. Oh yeah, the cotton ones are lovely too. So yeah, I wear my set pajamas every day at home. And they look super chic, so I don't care that I'm in pajamas. And I often say on the show, like, show your partner the best version of you. You see your partner more than probably anybody else.
Well, not in your case, clearly.
He travels with me a lot. Yeah. And so no matter who I see in the daytime, I'm probably not going to see them again. Like, if I pass somebody in the street or somebody's interviewing me or I'm on a show, yeah, I'll get dressed up for them, but I want to get most dressed up or look most appealing for my husband. He chose to marry me. He made the decision to marry me. I want him to remember
every
day.
And does he notice what you wear? Does he comment?
He tells me every day how attractive he finds me, and I do the same for him.
Really?
Because I make an effort for him all the time. He makes an effort for me. And I'm not saying I spruce myself up where I look red carpet ready, but I do the best I can.
Imagine if you did.
I know. But I do my hair every day. Every day.
Yeah. Hair is fabulous.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I never thought that I would be known for my hair because my hair was laughable for so long, but it's weird to know that I'm known for my hair across the globe. Wherever I go, people recognize me. They're like, oh, Tom France.
Yeah.
And if I don't have my hair out, it's not the same.
Yeah.
People ask how I keep my marriage going. I keep my shit tight for my husband.
Mm.
I make him desire me every day.
Mm. And who, Tan, are your fashion icons?
Susanna, you're going to think I'm lame, but this is just the way it is.
I might not.
This person was not known for her style many years ago. People found it laughable. But now, I think she's one of the chicest women in the industry, Victoria Beckham. I love her style. I know. But she always
looks... I haven't said a
word. So I can tell in your face. She always looks so chic. Everywhere I see her, I'm like, wow. You look just so good. I want to look like you, Victoria Beckham.
Okay.
Go on, give me your opinion.
Okay, here's the thing. I think the way she dresses is great. Okay?
Okay.
I feel admire a butt her ability to walk in high heels.
Yeah.
I'm in awe of
me too.
Her being able to
she
do that.
She has high heel slippers, which is bizarre to me.
But, you're right, here comes the but. I feel it's not innate. I feel it's too manufactured, and I feel she has a stylist. So someone like Tilda Swinton.
I am obsessed.
Okay. Well, she's a true style icon
because
she's done it all herself and she will push herself on the line. She's pushing the envelope. Whereas Victoria Beckham she's just a cliche to me. It's so, try hard.
Yeah.
That's,
wow.
What
okay.
I feel.
All right. And here's the thing with when it comes to fashion, everybody has their opinion. Everyone does.
Which is the great thing about it.
Which is also a lot of the time frustrating when you see comments online saying, what the hell are you wearing? Everyone has an opinion. But I think Tilda is one of the absolute greats. She really is. She does push style more than anybody else. But then there's also people like Cate Blanchett, who I know she's a stylist. Amazing.
Love.
But
she was.
She does have a stylist. I love her stylist. Her name is Elizabeth Stewart, and I love her so much. She's a guest judge on my new show.
Fantastic.
And she's wonderful.
Yeah.
But the way it works with these stylists is they show them a rack of clothing. So Cate, I know, is still choosing of the clothes that are offered to her.
Okay, but the choice has been refined.
Yeah. But still, it's hard. Like, you will see a rack of clothing. There's probably 50 items on there. You're still choosing. So I do think that she's very heavily involved in those decisions. So I think Kate is wonderful. She wore this one dress. I think it was a Givenchy dress that she wore to the Oscars. It was lilac, and it had a beaded chartreuse design on the front. Just iconic.
I know the one.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Beautiful accordion pleat. It was just stunning.
Yeah.
She's beautifully dressed.
Okay. So we agree on Tilda and Kate, and we'll agree to disagree on Vicky. So the podcast is called My Wardrobe Malfunctions. You have to tell me what yours is.
Mine wasn't actually a malfunction. In England, it wouldn't be a malfunction. In America, it was.
Okay.
There are many cultural differences. I've been there for 11 years and I've learned many of them. Mm-hmm. There's an episode of, I think it's season one, I should know this, I'm almost positive it's season one, where we go to a firehouse and we make over a fire station. And during that, we shoot in very, very, very hot cities. And it's always in the summer. And so I'm usually wearing a loose fitting shirt. I try and be as uncovered as possible. Mm-hmm. And this one particular episode, I was wearing a shirt, like a floral shirt. Floral shirts became a thing. And so I don't wear them anymore. People keep saying the floral shirt guy. I'm known for more than that. But I was wearing my shirt open all the way down to my navel. And I had really nice pecs. My tits looked great. And so I wanted to show them off. And it was really hot. And so I wore it during the show. And people kept coming over from the fire station saying, we're actually quite a conservative state, like we're a conservative city, can you please do up your shirt? Because they kept thinking that my buttons were popping open. I'm like, no, I've chosen to show my body. Well, if you wouldn't mind just covering up more. No, this isn't a malfunction. I truly just want to show my breasts. And so, yeah, and then there's one point where somebody actually did it on camera, came in and said, could you please cover? This is just too much for us.
Really?
Yeah, and they kept it in.
For a guy, I mean, that's so...
I know.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
When I think of malfunction, I just think something went wrong that shouldn't have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like, for example, did you ever see the Nicki Minaj one when they could, as she was just about to go on stage, the zipper wasn't zipping. So she was about to perform. So she had to hold her dress. And the zipper was at the front.
Oh my
God.
So
she had to hold her dress the entire time.
Yeah, that's a malfunction.
That's a malfunction.
And then Madonna at the Brits when she tripped in her cloak. I mean, that it was.
Oh my gosh. I have watched that on repeat so many times. I know it's horrible because I shouldn't get joy out of it. But, it
was TV gold.
TV gold. You couldn't have asked for a better moment in TV. It was hilarious.
And she did not have a sense of humour about it, which made it even better.
Oh my gosh, I didn't see, I didn't hear any press about it. All I did was watch the video on loop. Was she really upset about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, she really hurt herself.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah. I didn't realise that. Okay, I'm a terrible person.
No, you're not, but it was amazing, that moment.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. If I haven't had one, a proper one, what's yours?
I've had so many.
Like where something, not just where you've not put your zipper up, like something where it's popped open or something ripped.
One of the worst ones was at Windsor Castle, and it was Prince Edward's 21st birthday party.
Okay.
And I was sat.
I don't know who that is. Is that a Queen's Child?
Queen's Child. Okay. Oh, for God's sake, get a grip. You don't know who he is.
I have never heard that name before.
Prince Edward?
No, I've never.
Okay, he's the younger brother of Prince Charles. You've heard of him.
Oh, wait, so he's the one who married somebody that kind of looked a bit like Diana.
Yeah.
On the wedding. She looked a bit like Diana.
Yeah. Okay, so sat between him and Prince Philip, who is the Queen's husband.
I do know.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I watched The Crown. I love The Crown.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sat between those two, and my father, my guru, had bought me the most beautiful Valentino dress.
Yeah.
And it was white, cut on the bias, in a heavy silk crepe. And it was sort of halter neck. So I didn't have to wear a bra because it was when my tits were still small.
Yeah.
And it was kind of edged in these beautiful sequins and then cross back, low back, cross straps going... Sitting there eating my soup, and I suddenly...
You wore a white dress and you were eating soup?
Yeah, it was fine. I'm a keen eater. I didn't know they were going to have soup, did I? So I was in a white dress, and normally it would be the first thing that got dirty, but it was worse. And suddenly I felt this strap...
pop.
One strap, not one strap, two strap. My front of my dress fell. My tits fell in the soup.
God.
And I was just there with my tits exposed. And
no
Prince
bra.
Philip, no bra. Prince Philip looked at me and he kind of went, waved his hand.
Oh, my God.
And this butler came in with a silver salver with two safety pins on and I had to pin him. There I was, exposed.
Wait, I'm sorry to be vulgar, but did your boobs still have soup on them? Or did you have to wipe them off?
I had to wipe the soup off my tits.
At the table in front of Prince Charles.
So that was my worst.
See, now that's a malfunction.
Yeah, that's a serious malfunction.
That's amazing.
But it's a great story. So
an incredible story.
When really terrible things happen to you, and in your back of your mind, you're going, Yes, this is a great story. Yeah, this is a great story.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
You know, let's wind the movie forward about 80 years when the very sad day comes and you pop your clogs. What would you like to be buried in?
I wore a Tom Brown suit. I love Tom Brown.
Nice, yeah.
Love Tom Brown. I wore a plaid Tom Brown suit for the Emmys. It was the moment I felt the most powerful. The most powerful. It's fit me to perfection. It didn't have to be altered because he makes a lot of the time shrunken down pieces, which are meant to look shrunken down, but I'm
My husband's
petite.
Wedding, he was Tom Brown.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. He does tailoring so beautifully. So it didn't have to be shrunken down for me or altered anyway because I'm tiny.
Yeah.
And so it fit me like a regular person's suit.
So was it like a brown tuxedo or was it...
No, it was a plaid, like a red, white, and blue plaid suit, which sounds
nice.
Garish, but it was truly beautiful. And it had frayed edges, so it was almost like a vintage Chanel. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was classic, but with a twist of something modern, contemporary. Yeah, I loved that suit, and I would wear it 1,000 times over. And, I would
and have you worn it more?
I haven't worn it since.
Sounds like such quite a statement
it's
piece.
It's a very much statement piece. Somebody wanted to get it for their wedding and they said that they got it in the mail and they were like, we definitely can't wear that for the wedding. It's definitely a statement suit. But, and I don't want to wear it again. I just want to keep it in my closet and for one day to look back and show my kids or grandkids and say that I won 3 Emmys in that.
Yeah. Okay, so, Tan, this is just a little something.
Thank you so much.
Just to remind you of your home country.
Can I open it now?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much.
A rustle of paper, letter paper.
Oh my God, is that a Queen's bonnet?
It's a shower cap for your hair.
I love it so much. Oh my gosh, I'm actually going to use it.
Yeah, so what do you do when you... Okay, because with your hair, I was thinking, okay, that famous hair, that beautiful famous hair, when you have a shower, what do you do? Or does it naturally go
so
imperfect
I hate to
style?
Say, this is now day 3. I haven't washed it, so
I
just
wake
up. I haven't
washed mine for about a week.
Yeah, I wake up and thankfully it mostly stays like this. I just kind of brush it into place and then it stays like this. And so I usually will cover my hair when I shower, just so it doesn't steam.
You do, so that is the perfect present for Tan.
It really is. Usually I use a crappy hotel shower cap. So yeah, this is wonderful. Thank you so much, my love. That's actually really thoughtful. Thank you so much.
Tan, I could sit and talk to you for days.
I could sit and talk to you for days. It's been beautiful.
And yeah, what a lot of fun.
Thanks.
And it's so nice to be on the other side of the fence asking someone else about clothes and everything. But you've been amazing and good luck
Thank
with
you,
everything.
Thank you, my love. Thank you.
Oh my God, I'm in love with that man. Tan France is an absolute god, a gentleman and a total sweetie. I'll even forgive him his Victoria Beckham obsession. And now it's just us. We're in the pyjama party section, the part where you tell us about your clothing disasters. Hello, Sheila. It's Susanna Constantine.
Oh, Susanna, hi. So nice to speak to you.
Oh, and you. And good. Sheila, thank you so much for sending in your story. The disaster at the funeral. Tell me about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, it's a long time ago now. 2007. It was one of my favourite aunts. She was a lovely, stylish lady, my Aunt Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
And she always looked really good. She could make a sack look well. You know, one of these kind of people. And she always looked richer than what she was for the clothes that she wore. But anyway, I thought I may look stylish for this. So I went out and bought a new skirt. It was a knitted skirt, a fine knitted skirt, that kind of flared out a tiny bit at the end. Mm-hmm. And I had a ribbon going through the top of it, the thick silky ribbon or satiny ribbon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, I should have double, you know, like double knotted it. I didn't do that. I didn't realize. And anyway, it was at the funeral, and it's a Catholic funeral, up and down the whole time, you know, standing, kneeling, standing, sitting. and I was wearing a pair of high-heeled boots with quite a thin heel on them. Mm-hmm. So I knelt down and...
Was this at the altar that you knelt down?
Oh, God, no, it wasn't at the altar. It was okay. About three rows back, two rows back from the front.
Close
yeah.
enough to our Lord.
Close enough, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, close enough to the coffin, yeah. And anyway, I stood up and didn't realise that the heel of my boot had caught the hem of the skirt as I stood up, and the skirt had slid down. I was wearing thick control pants to pull myself in and didn't really feel it. The tights were thin enough now. So anyone standing back from me, and the church was quite full, could see my ass.
Oh, well, my God.
My knickered ass.
But did you? How long did it take you to realise that had happened?
Well, I suppose, yeah, let me think. It was before communion, so it was around the time of the peace be with you thing, mm-hmm. you know. So I suppose maybe 4 or 5 minutes I was standing there in my drawers, like...
Before you yeah. realised there was
before
a little
I
draft?
Realized. Yeah.
Or did someone else tell no. you?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they were enjoying the moment. I don't know. No, nobody told me. I just felt the breeze or the draft or whatever, on my nether regions.
I yeah. can't believe, Sheila,
know.
That the people behind you didn't tell you. Shame
no,
on them.
Told me. Shame on them. Shame on them. Yeah, but it got a laugh the rest of the day. Anyway, I was known as a funeral flasher.
Oh my
for the rest
God,
of the day.
It's too yeah. good. Well, I think that I have to say, so far has been by far and away the best wardrobe
really?
Malfunction we've had
I
from
know.
Listeners. Yeah, it's
very
incredible.
Good, very good. Yes.
All right. Well, listen, Sheila, the funeral flasher. I wish yes. you lots of love and thank you so, so much for sharing that.
Not at all.
And
thank you very much.
Keep listening to the podcast.
Oh, I will, of course. I will,
all right.
Of course. Thanks again.
Big kiss.
Care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Oh, that's nearly it. Hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. If you haven't, please keep it to yourself. If you have, please tell everyone and give us a 5-star review and rating, as I'm reliably informed it helps others to find us too. Before we go, thanks to our brilliant house band Duo. Find and follow them at Duo Guitar Music. Thanks to the wonderful, wonderful town France. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Catch up again very soon. But until then, my wardrobe is officially closed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.